WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hour number two on a Thursday as the sun begins to rise here in Philadelphia. We welcome you back in. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're always streaming live on the Odyssey app, 855-839-1210 to be a part of the show. You can get us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, 1210 WPHT. We'll get to some Philadelphia stories coming up here this hour. Also, some governors getting some work done. And one host from Fox News going in on John Kirby and pointing out some what I believe is blatant hypocrisy from this current administration when it comes to the way we view Apple and the way we view Twitter. Also, what's on the cut sheet coming up at 7:45 this morning. So much to get to. We'll get to Dawn's news in a moment. Also, people weighing in on a couple of things here on social media this morning. Mark Green says, Nick Kale, these days old is a measurement of how out of touch you are. I'm 37, so you're up there with me, buddy. I feel like I'm 100, and my daughter is 17. I can't imagine having younger girls. I gotta tell you, I can't imagine being Mark, 37, with a 17-year-old, because this works both ways.
Sure.
You know, you get, a lot of your earlier life from Mark. So I'm doing the math. He was 20 when he had a kid. So that probably impacted your ability to do a lot of things in your 20s and your 30s. But by the time you get to 40 and your kid's an adult, I mean, your 40s are going to be great.
I know. Mark and I basically had the opposite life because I didn't have my first child until 40.
Okay.
So
we had our twins at 30.
So my 20s and 30s were great, and now all of a sudden my 40s are like, oh God, my back hurts and I'm not getting any sleep. And, oh.
The stalker glory days are really
gone. I'm a little long in the tooth.
Well, I've got news for you too, because I married a single dad, so yep. I feel like I've had kids forever. But nowadays, it's not like when they're 18 or they're 19 or they're 21, they just leave. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're living at home till they're like 30.
Yeah.
What?
And yeah. I got news for you. It's a whole new world.
No, I'm kicking him out. Uh-huh. He's done. He's
That's
done
what
at
the
18.
Dad, let's get Mrs. Stalker on the phone.
No, let's not.
See how that plays over
it's
in the Stalker household.
It's a whole
household.
New world. It depends on the economy, too.
Yes. At this rate, speaking of the economy, you'll be at home till you're 40.
See?
Yeah. You'll be graduating college, and you'll be 80 grand in debt, making 40 grand with inflation at 7.7%, and your dad's going to want to kick you right out the door.
There it is. You'll be working until you're 105, Craig Stalker.
There you go. Doing awesome. Five jobs.
Thank you.
And with twin daughters, you know, paying for a wedding.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Two I know.
Double weddings.
Can I pull off a 2-for-1? Like,
no.
Can I get, now let's just say Olivia and Mia are dating somebody, and they've been dating for the same amount of time, and they, you know, pop the question for both of my daughters within this, you know, a couple of months. Can we get like a merger here?
Nope.
Where I can get a 2-for-1. I'll just spend 40 grand on one wedding and call it a day.
40 grand?
Yeah. We're going to go big.
No. It's not a lot, dude.
Oh, no?
40 grand is not a lot of money.
All right, then we're going to go small. We're just going to go 40 grand.
Oh, boy, you have a...
They're like, Daddy, I really need...
By the time it's going to be about 140 grand by the time...
Oh, jeez.
It's just trust me. Been there.
Just try to refinance my mortgage. It'll probably be like my fifth at that point. All right, we got a lot to get to. Dawn has some news, so let's find out what's going on in the city of Philadelphia and beyond.
Yes, this Thursday morning, December 1st, Kale and Company News Live, 37 degrees, full forecast in just a moment. Terror and fear on the campus of Temple University, where a lot of students are speaking out, saying they're on edge as there's more violence. And it just seems daily that we learn about what's happening on or near the Temple University campus. So Temple students say they're on edge as police release this latest video showing a firebombing of this off-campus apartment with Temple University students, yes, inside. Federal investigators have now joined the investigation along with Philadelphia police and Temple University police. Students were able to escape the flames. No serious injuries reported, but certainly a lot of fear. Parents speaking out. Parents speaking out also on the New Jersey side. This is Monroe Township Public Schools remaining shut down for a third day after a quote, in air quotes, internet issue caused by an unauthorized third party. So parents now worrying if their kids' personal information is safe. Were these hackers or what was this?
It's probably China.
There were emergency closures of the entire, you know, this is a district-wide shutdown of schools of this unauthorized third party. Imagine getting this voicemail. As they say, it's an emergency shutdown. Is it a, you know, at first they thought it was a Wi-Fi issue.
Mm-hmm.
So parents at first were told Wi-Fi issue and said, what? Why can't, well, Wi-Fi issue? Well, now it's a security that it appears that there's some kind of a hacking. So the question is, what's going on here? There are so many questions and very few answers as that investigation is underway. Some parents are worried about privacy. Were the social security numbers and phone numbers hacked? Was it something more nefarious? Or were these kids just brilliant, young,
yeah,
bored kids?
Young little punks with too much time on their hands.
Which is my suspicion. But we'll continue to follow that one for sure, as parents are very upset about that. And as Greg Stocker has been paying tribute, as you know, 79 years old, Christine McVie, keyboardist, singer, for Fleetwood Mac and singer-songwriter, obviously responsible for some of the group's biggest hits like Don't Stop and Little Lies. So a lot of people just paying tribute to her life and to her legacy this morning for sure. So we're, you know, I love that you're just playing her music and paying tribute. I didn't know she was 79 because you're forever young when you produce music like that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Fleetwood Mac. They've been around since...
Oh, my gosh.
They've been around since the... No, the...
Late 60s?
No, yeah, yes, thank you. The late 60s, they've been around. You know, they've been around a long time.
So we are sponsored this morning by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, the secret to finishing your holiday shopping. Three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, at the Loews Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com. Gift cards are available, josephanthony.com. And we do have the T-Mobile Weather Center forecast. Oh, if you haven't stepped out the door yet, 37 degrees, and it feels chillier than that. So the big chill this December 1st, because it's breezy, sunny, and windy with gusts up to 25 miles an hour today. So the high today is 42. It will never feel as warm as 42. Tomorrow for your Friday, sunny, 49 degrees. Saturday, 59, but cloudy, some morning showers. And then Sunday, 44, partly sunny. This is Kale and Company News Live.
Dawn with the news. Thank you very much, Dawn. 855-839-1210. We've got some great stuff coming from governors around the country when it comes to schools and when it comes to blocking devices. We will give you those details coming up in just a couple of minutes. But kind of putting a bow on what we've been talking about in the first hour of the show, we started off with the big take on the big cuts and the layoffs at CNN, and then we delved into the latest with Twitter, with Elon Musk, with Tim Cook from Apple, and everything that's been going on this week. And it's really been probably one of the biggest stories, if not the biggest story all week long, with everything that's going on with China, with the COVID lockdowns, to, you know, the blocking and the censoring of airdrops so people can communicate. And we've gotten into this battle back and forth between, you know, private companies, what they can do, what they can't do. Twitter does this, Apple does that. Well, yesterday, John Kirby was on Fox News with Martha McCullum, and Martha McCullum kind of went in on him with a hypocritical response from John Kirby about the United States government and how they are handling Apple and what Apple is doing with China and zero COVID versus Elon Musk and Twitter. Take a listen. Here's Martha McCullum.
So why would you say that from the podium? You didn't say it, but Karine Jean-Pierre said it, and not call Apple out for helping the Chinese government to suppress their own people's ability to communicate?
Again, I think we've been very clear and consistent on this, certainly publicly. We've been very open about our desires to be able to see citizens communicate. And you know, Apple, if this is a decision that they're making, then they should have to speak to that. But we can't and we aren't in the business of telling private companies how to execute their initiatives.
Yeah, but Twitter's a private company too. So why is Twitter getting one treatment and Apple's getting another is my question.
Well, these are completely two different circumstances. You're talking about the potential. Well, you're talking about the potential for perhaps foreign investment and involvement in the management of Twitter. That's a different issue than what we're talking about here, which is a business decision by Apple with respect to how one of their applications is being utilized.
Certainly, they're getting influenced by a foreign government, and that government is China. And Apple's policies—they've changed policies specifically for China when it comes to what they put on their phones. Right. I mean, that seems like something that the White House ought to be able to keep an eye on.
I certainly think that's a fair question to ask Apple and try to and make them communicate why they did this.
But I'm asking, has the White House done that? Have you reached out to them as a matter of national security, since we obviously have national security concerns with China, who they seem to be aiding in this process?
Sure. I don't have any communications to speak to specifically with Apple executives. Again, it's a private company. They make these policies, and they should have to answer for that. What we want to see is that citizens are reliably able to communicate, whether it's a time of crisis or not.
So if we are in great job out of Martha McCollum, keep digging in there. That's what you're supposed to do when you get somebody like John Kirby on your show. So if you're scoring and tracking this at home, essentially what's going on is the United States government and this administration will bend the knee to China and Apple and allow Apple and China to basically say, you know what, we're going to step in and censor Chinese people that are trying to communicate via the airdrop feature and relay information as to just how much suppression of basic human rights is going on in China when it comes to these draconian zero COVID policy lockdowns. And the United States government and this administration, as John Kirby said there, we're aware of what's going on, but we don't really have much to say, and we haven't communicated so much with China. But boy, I tell you, when it comes to Elon Musk and Twitter, and we've heard KJP and on the What's on the Cut Sheet segment multiple times, oh, we're keeping an eye on it. Has Joe Biden, we're keeping an eye on it. Keeping an eye on what? You're monitoring conservatives on Twitter, and you're kind of just laying low in the weeds, and you've got things to say, and you can comment on that. But when it comes to China and it comes to what's going on with Apple, it's a completely different spectrum. And that's the thing I don't get, because as Martha said there, it's apples to apples. No, I mean, no pun intended here. It legitimately is apples to apples. It's not apples to oranges. They are both private companies. They are both big tech. And yet when it comes to Twitter now being under the umbrella of Elon Musk, where free speech is restored, where conservatives are allowed to share their opinion without being squashed, it's a different story than it is with Apple and China. And why? Well, because Apple produces their phones in China, and for some reason, we as a nation, especially under democratic leadership, are scared to death of China. I just, and that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. And I don't really think anything is going to change for the next couple of years. And also, I would say this. I don't think anything's going to change when it comes to Twitter. Twitter 2.0 come out, the press release came out yesterday from Twitter and Elon Musk. And they basically tried to explain the new vision, the new brand, and how ultimately not much has changed. In the press release, Twitter says, as we carry out this work, we want to assure you of a few things. So I want the left wingers out there that think Twitter is all of a sudden this big epic wasteland of hate and misinformation. Just listen to these bullet points. So it'll finally sink into your skull one last time. As we carry out this work, we want to assure you of a few things. First, none of our policies have changed. Our approach to policy enforcement will rely more heavily on de-amplification of violative content, freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. That's number one. Number two, our trust and safety team continues its diligent work to keep the platform safe from hateful conduct, abusive behavior, and any violation of Twitter rules. The team remains strong and well-resourced, and automated detection plays an increasingly important role in eliminating the abuse. When urgent events manifest on the platform, we ensure that all content moderators have the guidance they need to find and address volatile content. And there's a few more, and they wrap it up by saying this. Finally, as we embark on this new journey, we will make mistakes, we will learn, and we will also get things right. throughout will communicate openly with our users and customers to get and share your feedback as we build. And again, to kind of put a bow on this, as somebody that's on Twitter way too much on a daily basis, in part because I'm addicted, in part because it's my job, I don't really see a big difference in Elon Musk Twitter now versus before, other than the fact that you start to see the content that a conservative tweets out more frequently. Why? Because they're not blocked, they're not shadow banned, and they're not censored. Other than that, I don't think much has changed. Oh, except for the fact that hate speech is actually down 33%. But don't tell anybody on the left that. 855-839-1210. Let's give up some love for some governors when we come back from South Dakota all the way down to Florida. Those details and a couple of Philly stories as well as we roll on. Kale and Company live on a Thursday. Nick, Greg, Dawn, and Anthony on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Not sure what Vegas knows, but the Eagles-Tennessee Titans spread line has gone down. It was 5.5 just, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago. Now it's 4.5. Eagles minus 4.5. I still like the line, by the way. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. By the way, this bet is the perfect. If you haven't bet yet, this is the perfect first bet for you. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Come on. Just sign up right now using my promo code Greg. I love the FanDuel app. It's all in an app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with my promo code Greg for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code Greg, G-R-E-G. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL, and is the official partner of 1210 WPHT 21 and over. President PA, first online real money wager only. Refund issued. Does not withdraw the free bets. Expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, they don't make hits like this anymore. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Greg Stocker, the reason that Eagles line is dropping?
Yes, sir.
83% are on the Tennessee Titans. So that line has gone from 5.5 to 4.5 because the sports books are getting hammered with Tennessee money.
Really?
So they're trying to drop that number down to balance out their liabilities.
Interesting.
Financially. I like the Eagles, to be honest.
Yes, me too.
And I'm not a homer. I will bet against the Eagles if I feel it's the right play. But this week, no. Taking the Eagles.
Yeah.
Tannehill stinks. 855-839-1210 is the number. What's on the cut sheet coming up in just about 25 minutes time? But a couple of stories as we give up a little love for some governors. I want to start in South Dakota with Kristi Noem, who issues, how about this? Now, this is great leadership and standing up to China. Issues an executive order blocking TikTok from state devices. Governor Kristi Noem signed an executive order on Tuesday blocking the download of the app TikTok, a popular Chinese-owned social media platform, from state devices used by state of South Dakota government employees, contractors, and agencies. So if you're a social worker and you have a state-issued device, first of all, you should never be using like Facebook and Twitter and stuff on company-issued devices. But for all those people that are doing that in South Dakota, Kristi Noem says enough is enough, because recently the FBI said that TikTok could very well pose national security concerns because of possible data collection or influence on users. Chinese policies allow the government to force firms operating inside the country to share its data. Once again, China very maniacal and diabolical with the total control of every aspect of their citizens. That according to NPR, there are concerns that the data collection could include personal data. Quote, because of our serious duty to protect the private data of South Dakota citizens, we must take this action immediately, Noem said. And I think it'll be interesting to see if, in fact, other governors from around the country, especially governors that are Republicans, follow Kristi Noem's lead, or maybe even a Democratic governor or two will jump aboard.
Let me ask you a question about this, because this is a fascinating story to me, because first of all, I'm not on TikTok. I don't like TikTok. I don't care about TikTok. Same. I will never download TikTok. My children will never be on TikTok. That being said.
That's good parenting by you.
That being said, as a conservative, Nick Kale, are you okay with the government banning something like this?
When it comes to China and their ability to constantly basically complete surveillance missions on citizens, I am. Because I don't want any government being able to surveil me constantly. And now maybe I'm a little biased here because I am a one-app kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm a Twitter-only guy. But I don't need it. Let's just say I was a TikTok user or any other platform where, number one, it's a owned and operated Chinese production. And two, the ability to constantly see what I'm up to, I don't want that happening. Not in my life.
Do you think they're the only app that's doing that, though?
No, probably not. Honestly, in this day and age, I think right now between whether it's a Twitter or an Instagram, even your, like I'm opening up my Apple phone right now. I have Google Chrome as my browser.
Sure.
I don't think I have like that Safari Firefox thing that's so god-awful. Like, I think we're being tracked constantly. I think right now, literally,
yes.
if they wanted to go into my phone.
Yes.
I mean, they could probably be listening to me right now through my phone talking on my show about the government.
They 100% could be.
They are listening.
There's no doubt.
So, to that point, what's the difference? You know what I mean? What's one more app?
Yeah, I think the difference here is I'm almost, not content. Content's not the right word. I'm almost admitting defeat knowing that we're being tracked.
Wow.
But when it comes to China and the way they operate, because, yes, I do think the United States is definitely keeping surveillance, but I don't think we are going to the levels of China. I think we would like to as a government.
Mm.
And I think what is going on with zero COVID lockdown policies in China, I think, this is just my opinion, I think there are people within the United States government that secretly and ambitiously wish that they could pull off what China's pulling right now with COVID. But I think we stood up as a nation and said, you know what, enough's enough with the mandates, the lockdowns, the masks. I think if we were more submissive, we might be in a position like China is right now.
Me personally, I'm more worried about what my own government can do to me than what China can do to me, as far as spying on me goes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Dawn Stensland, your thought on as a social media user. Now you're only on Twitter as well, right? Or are you a Facebooker?
She doesn't know what she's on.
I'm on everything. The problem is I have like everybody always like tries to help. I have like five accounts on everything.
Just burner accounts.
Well, you have multiple Twitters?
Yeah, I have two. And then I don't even know how many Facebooks and whatever. I only have one on Instagram.
Can I ask you a question, a serious question?
What?
Are you the only one who uses your Twitter? Or might your husband?
No.
And okay.
No, they don't know my Twitter stuff.
Okay.
I have a staff that puts out my
Twitter.
I wish they did. Like, I wish they would.
I honestly thought that Dawn has had people that tweeted and stuff.
No. I wish. I've tried to get my boys. I'm like, boys, I will pay you. If you,
I'll
make
allowance,
you cookies.
$25 a week.
No, I'll make you cookies if you help me with this. But if it's Michael, he would be tweeting out about Ukraine, World War II, you know, December 7th next week. My boys are history buffs. So what they would tweet about, I don't know, maybe you'd find it more interesting, actually.
Okay. So Dawn's got multiple ones. Are you concerned about, like, the analogy Greg made about our government more of a concern than what China's doing with, like, somebody on TikTok?
No, I think as far as a parent, I think we must be concerned about our kids and the influences.
Yeah.
So I think you do have to have sophisticated, honest conversations mm-hmm. with your kids, even for your little girls.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you bring that up because my daughters have Facebook. Mm-hmm. And they are also on Snapchat.
Right.
And I don't like the fact that they're on either. Now, my wife has put in, like, a lot of parental controls. They can only communicate with friends and family. So she sees that they're only friends and connected with, you know, our loved mm-hmm. ones. So it's not like they're connecting with, you know, strangers and the bizarre spam and the bot requests and all this other stuff. So they're kind of in a little bubble.
But I'm still not keen on the
They're
idea.
Not in a bubble. And here, I mean, I here's the thing that's, and I don't mean to freak you out.
No, it's fine.
But
pedophiles, Dawn.
I know.
Yes.
Here's did you know that on these all the things that your kids are talking on right now, mm-hmm. Snapchat, whatever. So if my son, like there was a school dance, a semi-formal last week. So he's looking at it and we're in the car outside and he's like, I can't go in. My friends aren't here. And we're like, how do you know your friends aren't here? It's you can see your friends' locations.
Yeah.
So you're being tracked. Mm-hmm. They know exactly where you are. Mm-hmm. So let's say a pedophile did go on there,
here we go.
Or a kidnapper or a creepazoid went on there, they could track your daughters. It's a tracking device. I'm really serious.
I agree. I wouldn't rule it out. And it is creepy.
Why is this generation okay with being tracked everywhere? I have never seen a more subservient generation who's just okay with, here I am, you know, for the world to see.
Mm-hmm. Because
hey, come see me. Come find me.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
It's because it's what they grew up with. And much like you went to the mall when you were a teenager, social media, this is their mall.
This is their new hangout.
It sucks.
Yes. Richard Notaro says Greg has it wrong.
Uh-oh.
Christy Noem didn't ban TikTok on personal phones. She banned them on government-issued phones, which I allowed. My company puts restrictions on the phone they provide me.
Okay, well, then I misread the story. That's a different story.
Yes,
if you want to do that,
This is, you know, probably, I'm assuming, teachers, social workers, you know, police officers, you know, contractors, you know. If you're collecting a check from the state of South Dakota and you have a state-issued laptop or cell phone, you are not allowed to download TikTok.
Sorry, Richard. I was tangled up in blue.
Dick Notaro just wanted to weigh in and let you know what was up.
He's a big Bob Dylan fan, so yes. I'm talking to him subliminally.
Yes. Is he a Fleetwood Mac titles. Fan is what I would like to know.
I don't know.
Richard Notaro let us
know. I'm sure he is.
There you go.
And definitely a Springsteen fan.
Oh, no.
I know.
No.
Well, so I'm glad you said that.
We've been at concerts together.
I was watching some of the Five last night, and believe it or not, of all places, on Fox News, there was a commercial for Sirius XM, and it was the sit-down with Springsteen with Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not sure I was ever anticipating seeing that on Fox News, but you know what? Money's money, and ads are ads.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so the whole thing. So
he's sitting there. It's like a 30-second commercial. He's singing, and Howard Stern's like, I can't believe you actually made me cry, Bruce. I'm crying for the first time.
Oh, God. Like,
my God.
Make me vomit, dude.
Find your spine and put it back in your back.
Oh, God.
Good
the
Lord.
Bad boy of radio is crying to Thunder Road.
Yeah. You know, I actually, since he only works 3 days a week anyway nowadays, he should probably just retire and be a sixth panelist on The View. Probably more fitting for him these days.
Well, that would be fascinating, actually.
Yeah. You got Whoopi and Behar just yelling into the ecosphere about how Republicans are bad people. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Ron DeSantis a few weeks ago said Florida is where woke goes to die. Well, three woke educators just got whacked in Florida. We'll give you the details next.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
7:37 as we continue here on a Thursday. Nick, Greg, Dawn, and Anthony. 855-839-1210, the number. Whatever happened to the Philadelphia Cabs? Are we going to really try to defund the Philadelphia Parking Authority? And a murder 65 years ago that was solved. We'll get to those details coming up in a little bit. We've also got what's on the cut sheet. That's coming up in less than 10 minutes as we continue here. A lot of interesting stories we're going to get to also coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. In 2024, what Republican voters need to understand. And then also on the Democratic side, hey, let's get rid of Nancy Pelosi and let's replace her with an election denier. Those details coming up as well. And then a story you're never going to believe. From San Francisco, but then again, it's San Francisco, so it's probably completely believable. 855-839-1210, the number. Dawn just making some great points in regards to technology during the break and the beauty of it, because we were talking about, you know, the government and the censoring of certain apps and, you know, China and TikTok and what Christy Noem is doing in South Dakota with state employees. But Dawn, some of the beauty of technology is it could be life-saving.
Yeah, and that's just it. You know, well, when you think, well, my son, who's type 1 juvenile diabetes, so I'm getting, as we're all chatting, his Dexcom monitor that he wears is, you know, going off on my phone.
Yeah.
His glucose level is in the 40s, which is very low. And can be, so I'm like texting the family. I'm sounding an alarm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Larry's taking the other one to school, so he's sound asleep. That's the beauty of this.
Sure is.
When you think about, and you think about, for example, we talk a lot about veterans, and we've, you know, do a lot of fundraising and commitment, and we thank those who protect and serve.
Yep.
And you think about those who are have disabilities. The technology nowadays, and I'll talk in the big eight about Elon Musk's latest, the Neuralink thing. I'll bring that up.
Okay.
And the big three at eight. But the technology for medicine and medical breakthroughs is incredible.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, the fact that you can be a diabetic and track everything on your phone.
Yes.
Is like, and I think, you know, I'm not a diabetic, but my dad was. But I know there's a lot of diabetics now with all the technology. You no longer have to do, at least if you don't want to, it's an option. You don't have to do the finger pricks each and every day. There's, you know, different options. And, you know, I guess it's what you put something on your stomach or your belly that'll track it. And
that's the Dexcom technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you still have to shoot up the insulin. I kind of suspected that your dad was in heaven because when you talk about the holidays, you talked about your in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. He's been gone for 12 years.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, he was, but to his, you know, to his demise, I mean, he was diabetic and said, you know what? I'm still going to have a cocktail. I'm still going to smoke. I'm still going to eat a cheesesteak if I want to eat a cheesesteak. And I'm like, okay. All right. Live your best life. And
it's
then,
hard.
Yeah. So, yeah, it definitely stings around this time of year. So, let me get to DeSantis, because this is great, and we'll play you this audio again in a little bit, but the story is really what matters here. So, Ron DeSantis, I think, is a guy that, you know, by and large, and look, you know, politicians say a lot of things, sometimes they don't come through, sometimes it's all BS, sometimes it gets blocked by the other side, but Ron DeSantis coming through on his word about taking on schools, especially in, you know, the battle against woke indoctrination over education. So the blaze yesterday, DeSantis-backed school boards waste no time removing woke educators. Three Florida superintendents ousted in 1 month. So how about this story? So Ron DeSantis in the 2022 midterm elections has already started pushing out his message, and he's now putting it into action with woke educators in counties where the board's majorities were flipped Republican, according to Politico. Following the victory of his endorsees, DeSantis said, "We will fight the woke in the businesses. We will fight the woke in the government agencies, and we will fight the woke in our schools. We will never, ever surrender to woke agenda." Alongside DeSantis, Moms for Liberty, a grassroots parental rights nonprofit, also drove successful midterm election campaigns that secured nationwide victories for pro-parent school board candidates. According to Politico, over the span of 1 week, new school board members in two Florida counties successfully removed the district's superintendents. A total of three superintendents were booted from their positions in November. Quote, "We had a wave in school districts that spit in parents' faces," Republican Representative Randy Fine of Florida told the news outlet. Quote, "And now the people who did that, they are gone." In Broward County, five school board members endorsed by DeSantis voted to remove Superintendent Vicki Cartwright during a November 14th meeting. Cartwright told WPLG she was, quote, "shocked and surprised about her firing." And then 1 week later, Brevard County Superintendent Mark Mullins agreed to resign in the wake of mounting pressure to quit from the conservative majority school board. Mullins will go on to say in a statement to WKMG-TV following his resignation announcement, "I'm proud of the contribution I have made to our kids and families over nearly 30 years of service, and I admire and respect the thousands of Brevard Public School employees who go to work each day with the mission of serving our students with excellence as the standard," end quote. And then last week, the Sarasota County School Board voted 4-1 to begin severance negotiations for Superintendent Brennan Asplin. So across some of these counties in the great state of Florida, parents standing up, Ron DeSantis coming through and getting rid of some of these woke educators, which I think, you know, Don, we've talked about this a lot on this show, you know, from, you know, some of the canceling of some of the Halloween stuff right here down the road, over on the main line, all the way up to Bucks County, you know, parents, you know, taking the fight to some of these woke educators that are, let's face it, they're not educating, they're indoctrinating.
Yeah, and it's real. It's happening. People who say, oh, you know, somebody's trying to gaslight, which is what Merriam-Webster's big word of the year, gaslighting.
Yeah.
That's not what this is. It's happening. It's real. And so parents now are waking up to this. It's why it's important, even when your kid comes home from school, it's why I wanted to do mornings, even though they tease me about it, because it's so important. When you pick up your kids from school, what happened at school today?
Yeah.
What's going on? What? Because a lot of kids don't have those conversations, and the parents don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to realize every single day, these things are not small issues.
No.
And the fact that your kid is, whatever it is, they're taking away the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they doing that? You know, what's the meaning behind it? And yet, on one hand, they don't want the American flag, or they don't want you to say Christmas, or they don't want you to say Hanukkah, but they're fine with the pride flag.
Yeah.
And so there's no consistency on that level.
No.
It's not that I'm against one or the other. I'm saying make your decision.
Right.
But they're specifically putting things down that are based on faith or patriotism.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some other agenda that's being brought up.
Yeah.
And it's consistent in that regard.
Well, and think about this too. And, you know, everybody's work schedule as a parent is different. But
yes,
for us that do morning radio, you know, when little Johnny gets off the bus at 3:15, we have the opportunity to be home with them. And gone are the days of, you know, Johnny gets off the bus, he comes running down the hill, he comes in, he tosses his book bag down, and you say, I want to see, how did you do on your test score or whatever, or what your homework is? And he says, oh, I got a B plus here. And then off he goes to play Nintendo. Like, you have to actually, and I don't grill my kids on a daily basis, and they're also a little bit too young now, but there's going to come a time where I'm going to want to know, you know, more specifics as to what really happened over the course of the day in regards to these issues that we're discussing, that we're concerned about now as parents, because gone are the days of how was recess? What did you have for lunch? Like, you want to know, I mean, I don't know if I'm just going to be like, hey, Olivia, did they try to indoctrinate you today? I got to figure out how I'm going to word it and snoop around. But these are the things that you want to pry the information out of from your kids.
Yeah. And just little things like asking them, does anybody, are there any quizzes on privilege? Or are there any quizzes about, you know, I don't know, are there guns in your house?
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that comes up in Philadelphia. And I can see the good and the positive and negative in that if they're trying to talk about violence within a city. But where are they going with this information?
Right.
And if it's officially in writing and they're asking kids, do your parents have guns in a house? What are they doing with that information? Things of that nature. This is happening.
Yep. No question. So Ron DeSantis backed school boards. They waste no time removing woke educators. Three Florida superintendents ousted in less than a month. And this goes back to Ron DeSantis's message following his reelection that was successful as the governor of Florida.
We have embraced freedom. We have maintained law and order. We have protected the rights of parents. We have respected our taxpayers, and we reject woke ideology. We fight the woke in the legislature. We fight the woke in the schools. We fight the woke in the corporations. We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. Florida is where woke goes to die.
I love that. And I'm going to, if we can't get it done with the station, I'm going to do it on my own budget. I want a t-shirt that says Kale and Company on the front with the Talk Radio 1210 WPHD logo. And on the back, I want where woke goes to die.
I think we can accommodate that.
I don't know if DeSantis will try to sue us. I don't know if he's got that copyrighted. But we're not saying Florida.
I don't think he, yes.
We're saying Kale and Company.
Yes.
Is where woke goes to die. But you know what doesn't die?
No.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday is sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, the secret to finishing your holiday shopping with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, and Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online at josephanthony.com where gift cards are available. That's josephanthony.com. I want to call it Nick Cale, Don Stensland. I would like
the
to call
day?
It.
We'll go home?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Call something else.
No. I'd like to call the official death of late night talk shows, late night comedy, late night TV. Last night, okay. we talk about this all the time, and you know we're always giving examples of Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel and how they get political. Last night's guest on Stephen Colbert, this is not a joke, was United States Secretary of Treasury Janet Yellen.
Boy, that sounds entertaining.
Wow. He spends like the first 30 seconds of this sucking up to her and saying how brilliant she is. And then she puts everybody to sleep discussing inflation.
Oh, boy.
This is late night comedy.
Right. Inflation.
Here's just a little piece of it.
Hysterical.
You've been called a genius at explaining arguments simply and clearly. Others have said this. I know you haven't said this to yourself, but are you explaining arguments simply and clearly? Can you explain how inflation got so high? Because 2 years ago, everything seemed fine. Even in 2021, and you and other members of the administration believed that inflation was a small risk. What happened, simply and clearly?
That's a challenge.
That is, yeah.
Wow, that's hysterical.
So we had a rapid recovery from the pandemic. When President Biden was elected, unemployment was quite high. It was close to 7%. And we put policies in place that generated a very rapid recovery. Unemployment quickly fell back into the threes.
Where is it now?
3.7.
Okay.
So
let me ask you something, Nick Hill. In all seriousness, is the goal of this to put people to sleep?
When did it become uber political with like governmental people coming on?
I don't know.
Because you've played more than one just this
a
clip
lot,
of this.
A lot, yeah. And she's the most we kid a lot, but she's like she's the most wonky political. You know what I mean? Like this is I have no idea how some booker, some guest booker, some executive producer is being like, yeah. She's the guest we need for late night.
Was Noam Chomsky unavailable? He was already booked for another show.
By the way, if Janet, she would never come on the show. But if a person reached out to me and said, hey, we want Janet Yellen on Kale and Company,
yeah.
Or Rich Zioli in the afternoons.
Or you know Janet Reno.
You know what I would say? No, she's boring. I don't care. Like, what are we doing?
Simply and clearly, to steal their words, that segment stunk.
So put a fork in it. I am officially calling late night dead 11/30/22.
And some would argue that it was officially dead when we played the clip of whoever it was on talking about abortion.
Oh, yeah. That was
that Kimmel?
It was Kimmel's wife came on right before the midterms and said, during the monologue, I'm hoping you don't think this is going to be funny because it's not. I'm going to get up here for 5 minutes and preach to you about abortion on late-night TV.
You know, I think, you know, one of these days when I don't have any ideas for the show, I'll just book my wife and we'll bring her on and she'll come on and say, yeah, this next segment's not going to be really compelling. And then she's just going to kill my audience.
By the way, on TikTok, 222.5 million views, Stephen Colbert, Epstein Island.
Really?
What is that?
I don't know. There's this TikTok list. My kids sent me this of the alleged people who visited, you know, the Epstein Island.
Yes.
This, you know, pervy island.
Uh-huh.
And Stephen Colbert's on it. He denies it.
I don't buy that.
He denies it, but it's like a weird list. Anyway.
We could go through the list and have like a game of yes or no, yay or nay, as then whether we believe that or not.
Well, I mean, it was proven that you know Alan Dershowitz's name was dragged through the mud for being on the Lolita Express, and that turned out to not be true.
That's so true. Yeah.
He denies it vehemently, but you look at the Dersh and you go, he could be a little freaky. Mm-hmm. And that's what you end up doing, right? Mm-hmm. You look at them and go, freaky.
There's zero, I mean, I'm not a Stephen Colbert fan by any stretch of the imagination,
right?
But there's zero chance that story is true. And what weird websites are your sons on?
I know, it's like, but it's trending on
happening.
222 million views on TikTok. Chris Tucker, Larry Summers. It's like, what? Bill Murray?
Bill Murray.
Barack Obama. I was like, there's no way Michelle let Barack ever go to that island.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
I would agree.
But it's nutty how these kids, again, to your point about, you know, media, they see this stuff and they're like, oh, these grown-ups are, they've lost their minds.
Dawn's going to have to go all Christy Gnome state employee and start putting blocks on some of these apps.
I met her. Remember we met her? She was in Montgomery County for a big event. I love her. She's awesome.
Let me ask you this really quick, and not to go off on a total sidetrack tangent here. Could you see her running as a VP down the road?
Absolutely.
Okay.
She has such a great story. She's just so down to earth.
Yeah.
And so bright, but a great story growing up, you know, on a farm. The reason she got involved was because, and you can relate to this, you know, her dad, they have a family farm. Dad dies, you know, shockingly, you know, wasn't ill, but suddenly got ill, died. And they realized because of the taxation situation, they were broke. And it was because of government and bad government and overreaching government. That's what got her involved as, I think she was 21 years old.
Okay.
Helped take over the family business.
Nice.
And that was what inspired her. So you have to have her on and interview her. I think that'd be great because she's somebody, and she's here in Pennsylvania for a reason. Because Pennsylvania is, of course, we say, on the road to the White House.
Yes.
So you would love her. And she works out into fitness just like you, Nick.
All right.
Yeah.
Are we done with the Christy Gnome Love Fest?
Never done.
Yes. Okay. I've moved on from Carrie Lake to Christy Gnome.
I tuned out 30 seconds ago. I'm just kidding, Don. I'm just kidding.
I know.
AOC's boyfriend.
Oh, Elon Musk.
No, oh, wait, this is her real boyfriend.
Oh, her real
Riley,
boyfriend.
Riley something, Riley Robert.
Her fiance.
Yeah, I guess so.
God bless that man.
This is the most uncomfortable video. You have to watch the video because he looks like a total, I want to say the word, but I don't want to, you know, I know there's kids listening. So like,
Jag-off?
I don't want to, no. There's a certain term that rhymes with muck. M-U-C-K.
Schmuck.
No. It doesn't matter. He just looks like a hostage sitting there explaining to her Instagram audience how white people need to be less racist because he's a white individual, a white man.
So AOC's boyfriend on the Instagram sitting cross-legged on the bed.
Yes.
Oh, boys.
Do you want to hear this?
Yes, I do.
It is cringeworthy.
Oh, boy.
So, Riley, what has been helpful to you in combating racism?
I think it's helpful and important to talk to other white people about racism. And I think a lot of people...
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
They don't want to be racist. They don't think that they're racist. But they also don't know some of the things that they believe or say are and can be racist. Oh. And I think one of the effective ways is just to talk and kind of help teach them about why some of the things they believe or say or think are wrong. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily racist, but that they're wrong. And that'll sort of chip away and, you know, contribute to some development in this area, but not necessarily take somebody from being a racist to not being a racist in one conversation.
And it's just always being open to learning about racist things that we may have said or done.
Riley, you didn't read everything I told you to read.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You think she was standing behind the camera with a handwritten teleprompter and a handgun? Read every one of this or you're getting whacked.
Yes. 100%. What is going on there?
White guy telling other white people about racism.
But see, I have a different take.
You can act like a man.
But Riley's actually a brilliant guy because he's playing she's the teacher. She's got her hair pulled up. She's wearing her long leather black boots. She's got a whip and her short skirt.
I don't like where this is going.
She's going, Riley. See,
Riley
and
boy.
It's a play-along thing. He just wants to get spanked. It's their little perverted little game they play.
We have exclusive audio of AOC off camera.
Rub the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
Oh, I love a little Bob Bill. Buffalo Bill. Wow. Where'd you pull that Silence of the Lambs gem from?
What is going on in the AOC Riley household?
Yep. So you think AOC's got hit Riley down in this little trap in the basement, this little cave, and he's standing up, or she's standing up there with a little poodle?
Yeah, yeah.
You read the script or it gets the lotion. Read what I said on Instagram or it gets the lotion.
Listen to how it starts.
So, Riley, what has been helpful to you in combating racism?
Jeez. See?
What a total.
Riley, do you want another spanking?
Oh, my God.
I wonder if AOC kidnapped him the way Buffalo Bill kidnaps the girl, where he's got like the truck, and he's like, "Hey, ma'am, can you help me carry this this couch into the back of my truck?" And then he clobbers her and takes off. But AOC did the Riley.
Oh my God!
Oh my.
By the way, Silence of the Lambs was on two nights ago, so I am just
you're
it's very top of mind.
You're all in.
Yeah, great movie.
Joe Biden yesterday was talking to the, I think it was the Native American Council or whatever.
Does he know who he was talking to? That's a really
nice. This is an odd statement that he said. He said that Jill spent a lot of time on Indian reservations, and she's worried, or he's worried that she's not going to come home one of these days. I don't think that this is what he meant, but this is what he said.
Okay. Start building a second school and revitalize the use of the Cherokee language. By the way, she spent a lot of time on other reservations, other nations as well. I'm worried she's not going to come home one of these days when she goes. You think I'm joking. I'm telling you. If I hear more about the Navajos than I hear about me.
What is going on?
You all think I'm kidding, don't you?
He loves to finish up with it. You think I'm joking. You think I'm kidding. No, I'm serious. Telling the truth here.
He's another one that you know, Jill's off screen telling him what to say.
Oh, my goodness. What is his deal?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing about the Navajos. Jill went to Idaho.
So he's in the middle of talking about respect for the Native American culture, and he thinks he's being heckled, which he's not, because he's in a room of like-minded people.
Well, is there a bunch of Let's Go Brandon chants?
No. He thinks he's being heckled because he can't hear because he's deaf and, you know.
He's old.
He's old, yeah.
Respect for tribes as nations and treaties as law. Respect for... Beg your pardon? I thought you said no. I was getting a little worried. I thought somebody said no.
Wow.
Boy, Joe, you hear one little sound of ambiance out in the ecosphere, out in the crowd, and you're very quick to think you're getting heckled. Very thin skin. I thought you were doing the greatest job in the history of any president. What I was told yesterday, Joe Biden, you know, talking about his accolades.
An unnamed source who loves to text during the show, but we can't name him. Says that he would make that video for AOC because he's, you know, in love with her. So,
oh, really?
He doesn't blame Riley for the...
So this unnamed source has a thing for AOC?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see it.
No, we've had this discussion. Yeah. She has the crazy eyes, brother.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying she's ugly by any stretch, but I don't see the, like... Hey, I've got a thing for AOC. It doesn't do it for me.
Dawn, am I wrong? Is that a sexist statement by me saying she has crazy eyes? I mean, she looks like...
dudes have crazy eyes, too.
Mike
Tyson? Mike Tyson got those crazy eyes.
That's a woman. That's a woman thing.
To me, personally, I think... Because I, as a brunette, I love brunettes. I think she's very pretty. And so, and I think she has that it factor. Mm. And so, I know when my sons were, especially starting in middle school... Those girls in middle school loved her. So she definitely is somebody who I think will run for president. She has a huge following, and she knows how to work social media. We talk about that a lot. So don't underestimate her. And also, credit Fox News. They constantly, for a while there, they were obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who kind of put her on the map.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how the other side seems to almost unknowingly elevate the competition?
Exactly. Yeah,
and we're guilty of it. We play clips from The View, like
I know.
Eric the Red says AOC must be wicked in the sack for Riley to do an apologetic video like that.
So just Riley, what's been helpful to you in combating racism?
I think it's helpful and important to talk to other white people about racism.
Yes,
and I think a lot of people. They don't want to be racist. They don't think that they're racist, but they also don't know some of the things that they believe or say are and can be racist. And I think one of the like effective ways is just to talk and kind of help teach them about why some of the things they believe or say or think are wrong, mm-hmm. not necessarily racist, but that they're wrong. And that'll sort of like chip away and, you know, contribute to some development in this area, but not necessarily take somebody from like being a racist mm-hmm. to not being a racist in one conversation.
And it's just always being open to learning about racist things that we may have said or done without judgment and defensiveness.
What is thy bidding, my master?
Oh, man. That was really good. I knew you were up to something. I saw you playing on your other machine over there.
Sam Bankman-Fried.
SBF for short.
So he's finally breaking his silence. Yesterday, he did an exclusive interview with Andrew Ross Sorkin for the New York Times. It was a Q&A.
Yes. I've got some of the transcript here.
I have some of the cuts here. I wanted to start with this one. He says, there's a lot of this stuff that's in the weeds, so I didn't. First of all, does this dude sound like somebody you want to invest millions and billions in?
Yeah, I think if you give up your entire life savings for this scumbag, in some regards, that's kind of on you. Yeah. Not completely, because I do feel bad, but, I mean, you got to know better.
The whole thing, this unnamed individual needs to stop texting me during the show.
Oh boy.
No, don't. I love it. Sam Bankman-Fried says one of the allegations is that he was commingling funds, like he was robbing Peter to pay Paul and all that, you mm-hmm. know, stuff. A basic Ponzi scheme. He addresses that with Andrew Ross Sorkin.
That there is a view that this is about commingling of funds. Right. And in that letter that I just read you, this gentleman actually copy and pasted the terms of service for FTX into the email. And I just want to read you this. It says, none of the digital assets in your account are the property of or shall or may be loaned to FTX Trading. FTX Trading does not represent or treat digital assets and users' accounts as belonging to FTX Trading. So how is it possible that Alameda had this loan of such a large size?
So there is that piece from the terms of service.
this
but
guy.
There were a number of other parts of the terms of service and a number of other parts of the platform on top of that. There is the borrow lending facility.
Weasel.
Where users were lending billions of dollars of assets to each other, collateralized by assets on the exchange. You had obviously futures contracts where there are leveraged positions on. Now, of course, all of this, it's meant to be the case that these are positions where FTX could, if it needed to, margin call those positions and close them down in time such that it would cover all of those, all those shorts, all those liabilities. Obviously, that wasn't the case here. And that's a massive failure of oversight, of risk management, and of, diffusion of responsibility from myself running FTX.
But make this very straight. Was there commingling of funds? That's what it appears like. Mm. It appears like there's been a genuine commingling of the funds that are of FTX customers that were not supposed to be commingled with your separate firm.
I didn't knowingly commingle funds. And again, one piece of this, you have the margin trading. You have.
Okay. And he gets back to there's a lot of stuff that's in the weeds. I hope people's eyes didn't glaze over that one.
Like, I've always sensed that this guy's a total weasel. But,
yeah.
I mean, he even goes on to say, and I'll just give you two little quotes.
Yep.
He had a bad month, end quote. And he also goes on to say he didn't do a good job at upholding his responsibilities. And then he gets into specifics of regulators, customers, investors, and whatever. I had a bad month, and I didn't do a good job. He sounds like an NFL coach that went 1-3. Like, dude, you cost people their entire life savings.
one of the biggest financial frauds in the history
yes.
of the country. And yes. he's like, well, you know, S happened. Sorry.
But it's cool. I'll just chill here in the Bahamas, which, oh, by the way, he's broke now. And I feel bad for Mr. Bankman-Fried. He's down to one credit card.
Well, let me just play one more clip. He addresses being in the Bahamas, and if he thinks he has any criminal liability, this is what he said.
Can you speak to the lobbying piece of it, though?
Yeah.
And the donations sure. piece of it, because I think that's become
this one.
You're in the Bahamas right now. Are you in the Bahamas because you think you can't leave?
No, I'm in the Bahamas. I mean, I have been in the Bahamas for the last year, and
oh, yeah,
you know, I've been running FTX from the Bahamas. You know, yeah. I've been running FTX Digital Markets.
Weather is great.
You know, primary operating entity down here. You know, with you know Bahamian regulators and you know and others in contact, and you know, right now I'm looking to be helpful anywhere I can with any of the global entities that. You know, that would want my help.
Do you think you could come to the United States or go elsewhere?
I, to my knowledge, I could.
Have you thought about doing that?
You know,
I've thought about it, and you know, I mean,
considered it.
I've seen a lot of the obviously a lot of the hearings that have been happening. I, you know, would not be surprised if you know. Sometime I am, you know, up there talking about what happened to our representatives or, you know, wherever else is most appropriate.
How concerned are you about criminal liability at this point?
So I don't think that, I mean, obviously I don't personally think that I have, you know, but I think the real answer is that's not, it sounds weird to say, but I think the real answer is that's not what I'm focusing on.
Amazing that this guy had $2 billion and I've got two nickels in my pocket.
I can't. Who's investing with this guy?
What an unimpressive schmuck.
Wow.
30 years old in the Bahamas. My guess is the only time he comes back to the United States is when he's being extradited back in handcuffs. And I don't know that this guy's going to be seeing his 50th or 60th birthday, if you get the hint. Because I think there's a lot of people that are angry at this cat. And, you know, we'll see the way this plays out if he ends up going to prison. Because not sure that life will be too good for this guy. But he did pay $5 million in cash for a major analytics firm with troves of voter information to help Democratic campaigns. As you know, this guy, and as we told you on this show, he is the second wealthiest donor and contributed the second highest volume of dollars to Democratic politicians to only George Soros. So, yeah, my sniffer goes up a little bit when I hear this guy talk.
Yeah. Let's do one more and then we'll hand it over to Dawn for the big 3 at 8. Elizabeth Warren, speaking of Twitter and Elon Musk and big tech, Elizabeth Warren was asked about Elon Musk and Twitter and her and him having all this power with Twitter, and this is what she said.
Do you think that users have a right to freedom of speech, even if what they're saying is wrong or offensive?
I think that one human being should not decide how millions of people communicate with each other. One human being should not be able to go into a dark room by himself and decide, oh, that person gets heard from, that person doesn't. That's not how it should work.
Yeah, hey, Liz, hey, just real talk for a second. I don't think, like, Elon rolls into, like, his bedroom and dims the lights and goes on to, the Twitter main app and says, you know what, Johnny, you can come back, and Bill, you can't. Pretty sure it doesn't work that way. Boy, it's amazing how I've never seen. You know what's amazing is Democrats are more afraid of Elon Musk than they are of China.
Yes.
Well, that's a staggering thing to process.
One Twitter user, and of course, I'm just reading these. I don't endorse or condone anything. But Misbehave on Twitter says, "I don't think you guys are listening to AOC's boyfriend. He wants to share her makeup and high heel collection." It's not right.
Not that there's anything wrong.
Hey,
sometimes they're just more comfortable than guy shoes. You know, that's what I've been told.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for what's on the cut sheet here on a Thursday. It's 8:12 on Kale and Company.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.